can face tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone, because I know he holds the future.
Yes, he does. Hallelujah.
Because he lives. And then one day I'm gonna cross that river.
Wait for that.
And
moment.
I'll find life's fun. Life's fun and warm.
Oh, we'll see. Turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews, the great book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Thank you for such music. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Oh, it's good to come to church and worship. We have to be careful that our music is not so good that you just enjoy the music instead of enjoying the Lord. How many enjoy the Lord? How many love His presence? There's nothing on the face of God's earth as sweet as the nearness of Jesus Christ. What a Savior. The book of Hebrews is one of those highlight books of your Bible. And I want to preach this morning on the chapter of Christian giants. The chapter, 11th chapter of Hebrews, the chapter of Christian giants. Giants. We hear a lot about great people, successful people, people who really won their time in the world and their day in life. We hear a lot about those big tycoons, I believe that's right, tycoons, of the world of internet and all the things about the computers and all the technology of it. We hear about all of them. Well, I want to tell you folks, the greatest giants in the world are not those who are giants in the economic sphere, not giants in the political sphere, are giants in the educational sphere. It's those giants that are the Lord's and that belong to Him. And it got on me in the middle of the radio program yesterday. I began to read a scripture, and all I could see was a sermon. And I knew God didn't want me to wait. I felt it down to my heart. Now, go to Hebrews 11. Let's read verses 9 and 10. Then we'll go to verses 13. And I want you to listen. I want you to hear each word of these texts because they are powerful. By faith, this is speaking of Abraham, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Living in tents, tabernacles, walking through the wilderness, grazing their sheep and their cattle, enjoying life on a country level. But they were looking for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. They was looking for something that wasn't in the land of Israel. They was looking for something that didn't exist in the Middle East, nor in anywhere else in the world. A city that God had made. Now verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Having seen them afar off. I'm sure they didn't know how far. They just knew it was a long ways. Having seen them afar off. And were persuaded. Was persuaded of them. And embraced them. You got to get that picture now. And embraced them. I love that. And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, you talk about a picture of Christianity in the bygone years. That's a picture of it. But I don't see much of it today. And I want to help change that. I really do. Let me read that verse again. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Now that's Christianity, friends. Strangers and pilgrims confessing that they are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a different country. That they seek a country, it actually says. And truly, if they had had mindful of that country from whence they came, from which they came out of course. So beautiful to look at this. If they had mindful of that country from which they came out of, they might have had the opportunity to return. They could have went back, as many people are doing today. This is the day of the backslider. There are probably more backsliders in the world today than there's ever been in any given time, even comparative with numbers. But not that they desire a better country. No, I'm sorry. But now that they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. What a text. I hope you got that. Do you think you got that? Did you get what I read? Here's a group of people who were God's giants. They had come from a place of wickedness and sin. They had saw us a distant kingdom, a distant city. They had taken hold of that. They'd embraced it. They would not go back. They would not even consider going back. They were plainly set on a different world than what they had came from. And nothing would turn around. They're on their way to God's eternal promise. And God loved them so much that the Bible said he had prepared for them a city. Father, we live in the day of many backsliding people. Many people who've come to know the Lord and his promise, but just could not give up what they had left to Father Christ. And so they have returned. Multitudes have returned. And somebody sitting in this building could be careless right now. They could be thinking of the world from which they came. They could be desiring the sin of their past life. And they even may be considering giving up their faith. I'm praying this morning that somehow by the grace of God, we will look beyond what we now have around us and get a vision of what's down the road. In Jesus' name I pray. You may be seated. Now, the first thing I want you to do this morning is I want you to think about these great giants, these godly men. These godly women who had left the world of sin, had turned to Christ, had their eyes on another world, another day, a great promise. They were looking to the future. These people in this great text of Hebrews 11 had embraced another world beside the one which they lived in. They'd embraced another lifestyle beside the lifestyle they'd been raised in. They had looked way down the road, further than their eyes could see. But they knew it was there. They may not behold it, but they didn't doubt it. These were men and women with a royal faith. These were men and women with a rock solid faith. They'd made up their minds. So I don't want to talk so much about these great servants of God. Do you know this actually starts with Abel? The book of Hebrews 11 starts with Abel. And it names the greats of God all the way to Samuel. And then they suggest that there are many, many more in which there was not room to name. And they spoke of these giants of the faith. They told us of their rock solid commitment to God. They told us how they'd embraced this other life. Now, I'm preaching to us. Our world may be a little different from the world they lived in, but the principles are exactly the same. from now until the end of this age, there will be people living just like us in a world. There will be many that have chosen Christ, but are not really committed, but halfway, straddling the fence, trying to hold on to the world, and trying to get a grip on God, and their life is all befuzzled. If you look at any box of hurting people, you'll find some good people, some godly people. But you'll find a lot of people who are hurting because they're walking the wrong road. They're going the wrong direction. They're headed to the wrong place. They've never turned to Christ and gripped Him with all their heart. Hallelujah. But this morning, I'm believing that somebody in this building who are right now on your road to the lake of fire. You're on your road to trouble and disappointment and all kinds of heartbreak. You're on your way to roads of despair and roads of sorrow and roads of all kind of difficulties. But when you turn to this road, all your difficulties don't end, but God comes along beside you and walks with you. And that's nothing you go through that He isn't conscious of. I was sick all night last night. I pled the blood, and about the time I woke up and got myself ready for church, it was all gone, and the healer had passed by. You see, the healer is always available. When you walk this straight path, when you walk this giant road of great saints, you've got a helper every step of the way. Somebody help me understand that. You've got someone walking right beside you. So, we're talking this morning about this wonderful rock-solid faith that can make a giant out of you. I wonder, listening to me now, how many of you in this building, you actually would like to be a person with a giant-like faith like these men and these women possessed? You'd like to be a giant for Christ. You're not satisfied just to be saved and go to heaven, but you want to do something for Him like you've never done. You want to be usable. You want to be a mighty blessing. You want God to take hold of your life and use you. You know, when you get so full of God that you're just enjoying being a giant for Him and in His kingdom, nothing of life can discourage you. You're on a road that's going to the right place. So you would like to be a giant for Christ. Now, before I get to the principles, I want to ask you, if you really want to be a giant for Christ, and you mean it, don't you raise your hand casually. Don't you raise your hand in a cheap fashion. You really want to be a giant for the Lord. Let me see your hand. Let God see your hand. Now, God's looking. I'm not paying any attention to which hand is up and which is not. I'm just asking you a question. I want to get you set on these giants of Hebrews 11. I want you to understand that in the background of their lives, they're no different from you. In the background of their walk with God, they started at the same place you started. Their life had the same difficulties your life had had. There's never been a giant for God that had some kind of extra special privilege that made him a giant for God. They all started at the very nitty gritty of the beginning. It's a tough road to walk, but it's a great road to walk. When you look at it from back there, it looks pitiful. It looks too hard. But when you're up here 67 years later, like I am, you look back and said, wow, what a life. What a wonderful life. I don't have a thing to complain about this morning. I've made some messes. Have you ever made a mess? Let me see your hand if you ever made a mess. This week, I got a hold of a recipe. Corn casserole. I ate some of it on Thanksgiving Day. It was so good. I thought, Brother Charles, that's some of the best food I ever eat. I'm going to make that. And so I set out this week. Took a lot of time. Had to get a new dish. Had to go buy all the ingredients. And it took me a while to get it together. And I finally got it together and got it cooked. And oh, it smells so good. It looked so delicious. It was 7 o'clock. And I'd got up at 5. So I'd been on the task for 14 hours. Actually, hadn't stopped to rest a minute for 14 hours. Had blew off part of the yards. I saw someone else got the rest. I mean, I just did my things that I loved doing. Everything I did, I loved doing. But now I was tired. And I reached in the oven and got that beautiful pot. And I put the cover on it and started for the door to bring it up here. And dropped it at the door. And spilt the whole, I think, 3 quarts of corn casserole. All over the carpet, all over the door, all over the floor. It was gone. It was gone. It was gone. I got right down on my knees and I cleaned it up until Mama couldn't even find the licking of it. I don't do nothing else. I got to clean it up. I got it all done. Took a little one that I put on the side for me. I was going to save this one at my house. I said, well, I'll take it up and then get a taste of it. They won't get to eat it. And that's what it did. And that was last night. That was last night. But I'm okay. Don't feel sorry for me. I need the Lord once in a while to drop me a bum shell and say, now wake up, son, and be a little more alert. And don't be so quick at things. And don't get in such a hurry, son. Anybody else ever hear that but me? Let me see your hand if you ever hear. Don't get in such a hurry, son. Don't move so fast. Well, that's how life is. We have some of those days. Now, I want you to be strikingly honest. How many of you have ever made a disaster quite like that one? Let me see your hand. All right, now, nobody's lying on me, right? Nobody's lying on me, right? Yeah, we have some of those times, don't we? Don't we? Oh, but we are courageous men and women. These people, these saints of God in Hebrews 11 had been through many of those experiences. Why you tell such an experience? Because you need to understand that life's not a bed of roses. Life's not floating down a silvery river with every kind of flower embracing all around you and everything going so beautiful. Sometimes there's some tough places. And if you're a real saint of God, you can say, thank you, Lord, for that tough place. Now, I couldn't say thank you, Lord, for about 15 minutes. About 15 minutes later, I started saying thank you, Lord. It took me a little bit. Now, don't tell me it don't take you a little bit. I believe we're all human. But now, let's get to these principles of this sermon. This is beautiful to me, and it's a picture of life in every perspective. Go back with me, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Could I warn you about something? You really need to be warned about this. Everything God has promised you, you're not going to get it before you die. Or before the rapture takes place. Some of those promises are going to be after you've skipped out of here. Some of those promises are going to be down the road. You can't even see them. You don't know where they are. But this beautiful picture makes it plain. You don't know what's down the road, and you don't know what's going to happen. But you know who the promise is. You know who the promise giver is. You know what his promises are. I'm here to tell you, there's not one promise in your Bible that you prepare yourself radically and devotedly for and believe God about that you will not receive at some point in all of your life or close thereafter. I've got children, I've got grandchildren unsaved, but God's going to save them because the promise is mine and I stand on it. God's going to heal their bodies, the promise is mine and I'm going to stand on it. I called a lady a couple of days ago and prayed for her, and then she sent me a word that when she got better, I said, I don't want to hear you got better, you're healed today. Did you know God keeps his promise? Somebody let me know that God keeps his promise. That God don't always do it the moment we want it and the moment we ask for it, but God does it. These all died in faith. Well, I shouldn't say all, but some died in faith, never receiving the promise. Now, that's not to discourage you. No, not at all. It's just to keep you knowing that while you wait on God, he's in charge. Oh, hallelujah. Not having received the promise. But yet they died in faith. If I can bring you this morning to get a hold of the faith that I'm talking about. If I can bring you until you rest in the promises of God and the faith of God and you will not move away from it. I don't care if hell seems to freeze over. You will keep on trusting God. How many of you are like that this morning? Let me see your hand if you really are like that. Stand up, will you, and say, I'm trusting in God if I see it or if I don't see it. I'm trusting in God whatever tomorrow or the next day brings, I'm going to trust God. Hallelujah. I'm going to trust God. Say it out with me, will you? I'm going to trust God if I see it, wonderful. If I don't see it, I'll wait for it. If I don't see it, I'll wait for it. You know, when Sister Chambers was dying, the last 3 weeks of her life, she kept saying, I'm dying for my children. I'm dying for my children. And I don't have any doubt. How could I doubt what's going to happen to those kids? They can get by what God has promised. It's impossible. It's impossible. These all died in faith, not having received the promise. Now, church, you've got to learn that God never fails in a promise he makes. God is absolutely, totally, utterly dedicated to everything he's promised you. You've got to believe that. God is not going to ever let one promise that you stand on fail you. Now you got to do right. You got to live right. You got to keep his word. You don't get God's things by living some old careless way. You get them by obeying God and keeping your eyes set on the goal. Now listen, that's the first principle. They died in faith. If you don't have a faith that you can die with, your faith is not worth very much. Did you hear that? If you don't have a faith that you can die with, your faith's not worth very much. This faith that you have got in this Bible, you stand on it when the sun is shining and when everything goes out. You just stand on it. Now listen, make sure you notice, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. Now I like that principle. I look at my Bible, Brother Steve, and I see so much in there that God's promised me. And I'm expecting a Holy Ghost revival like I've never seen in my life. You say, oh, are you really expecting that? I have no doubt it's coming. I actually believe I'm going to see it. But if I don't, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I promise you that. You can't stand on God's word over and over and over. You can't cry and weep and sob in the presence of God. You can't pour your soul out at his feet and God not remember and keep a watch. What did he say to the woman who went to the unjust judge? He said, shall not the Lord avenge his elect who cried day and night unto him? Oh, that word cry, oh, it's a big word. It means the pouring out of one's soul. The pouring out of one's soul. Hallelujah. You just pray and you pour yourself out. Don't be a lazy prayer warrior. And don't be a cold, dead prayer warrior. Be a man or woman of great faith. And you get God's attention with your praying. When I pray, I'm determined that God's going to hear me. If I think he's not hearing me, I'll shout. I'll scream. I'll sob. Now all of a sudden, Brother Danny, I feel his assurance. I feel his certainty. He's heard me. I showed Brother Ken a picture of the old farm place we lived when I got saved. And I showed him around the front edge, around the back, the dark side of the house. And I said, you see that bush there? I said, I don't know if it's the same bush or not, but that's where I went to pray at 16 years of age. Every day when the farm day was over, I'd worked myself to a tired young kid with all the adult workers. My daddy had me plowing with an old country plow and a mule when I could only hold the rail between the two handles because I couldn't reach the handles. I'd plow all day just holding the rail. I remember getting saved, and we lived in that old big farmhouse, and I'd go behind the corner of the front where it was dark. And I'd get on my knees every night, and you know what I remember? I remember the Lord showing up. Brother Joe, the presence of God would come down every time. I wouldn't get up till it did. God knew He'll be here all night if I don't show Him my presence, and He'd come show me His presence. I'd shout and go on about my business. Well, I want to tell you something, church. That's what God wants of us. He wants us to reach a place that nothing can make us doubt, that nothing can make us turn aside, that nothing can cause us to fear. Hallelujah. Having seen the promise of afar off, I couldn't see what was coming, but I knew it was good. I didn't see how big it was, but I knew it'd be right. Hallelujah. And you can trust this morning that regardless of how far down the road your promise is, it's yours. Stand on it. I said it's yours. Stand on it. I said it's yours, church. Somebody stand on it right now by raising your hand. Hallelujah. God's promises are absolutely faithful. But notice He didn't stop there. They saw them afar off. And listen, they were persuaded. They seen them and they were persuaded. There was nothing that could make Abraham doubt that he was going to have a son that was a son of promise. He's 100 years old. His wife is 90-something. And he looked at that little frail woman. I presume frail. 90-something, you're supposed to be frail. He looked at her and said, "Son, Mama, we're going to have a child. We're going to have a son of promise." One day the angel showed up. And Brother Joe, the angels was outside talking to Abraham, telling him the promise was real. And Sarah was inside laughing. That's what the Bible said. She was inside laughing. And the angel knew what was going on. "Wherefore didst thou laugh?" That's what the angel said to her. Hallelujah. How many of you got a promise that you really want God to keep in your life? Let me see your hand. How many of you ever had anybody tell you need to quit depending on that? That's not ever. Most people, somebody come along usually when you get your heart set on something, and they'll discourage you. They'll tell you something that is meant to take away from you your hope. They were persuaded. Nothing. I said nothing could make them doubt the promise of God. Nothing could make them doubt what God said He was going to do. That's how I feel about Holy Ghost revival. Nothing can make me doubt we're going to have a Holy Ghost revival. I've been carrying it a long time. Hallelujah. I've seen it afar off and a little closer and a little closer. And I see it closer than ever. And it's going to happen. I'm persuaded. I am persuaded that whatever He has promised, He is going to do. Somebody help me. I am persuaded. I don't doubt Him. I know He's faithful. I got some other promises I'm leaning on right now. Will they happen, Brother Chambers? You better believe they're going to happen. God cannot fail. God cannot fail. Would you say with me, God cannot fail? Do we really live that today? I don't think many people do. I don't want to fuss at you. I'm not up here to fuss at nobody. But I'm telling you, you need to pray until God fills you so full of persuasion and confidence and God's faithfulness that nothing can make you waver and nothing can make you move aside. Hold on to God. Brother Jose, are you holding on to God back there, brother? You believe He's going to be faithful to you? Yes, you do. God doesn't fail. He's a faithful God. He cares about you. He loves you. You are here. Do you know that God really loves His children? Did you know that? That God saw you the moment you repented of your sins and you turned to Christ? He sees you when you waver too. How many of you have ever wavered? Come on, raise your hand and be honest with me. How many of this morning are ready to stop your wavering? Raise that other hand up and put them both in the sky. No more wavering on my part. Thank you, Brother Joe. I believe you mean that. Thank you, saints of God. I believe you mean that. Deborah, I believe you mean that over there. I'm telling you, they were persuaded. You follow the life of Abraham and Moses and these great prophets of God. I'll read you a little bit in a moment and show you the things they accomplished. They were literally able to win whole kingdoms over. Do you know what President Trump needs? He needs a goodly number of saints of God who know how to pray, who do not waver. He's got enough enemies to destroy him 1,000 times over, but enough praying on the part of good people can bring him through the tough days ahead of him. And he's got me praying. I want you to know, I don't like everything about him. I don't know anybody in the world that's absolutely perfect beyond all degree, but I know God is faithful to those who are doing something good for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they were persuaded. They were persuaded. I want that word to really get a hold of you, because it is a word that means rock solid faith. It means rock solid faith. Faith that will never move aside. And then it says, they confessed. And this is the real part of my sermon. They looked around. Can you look? Let's see if we can get a picture of this. Here's, let's say it's Moses. And he's been out there in the wilderness 40 years. He left Egypt 40 years ago. 40 years ago. And it's 40 years later. And all he's done for 40 years is watch over Jethro's sheep and cattle, his father-in-law. That's all he'd done. Had some children. But nothing big for God. And he goes to the wilderness out in the desert. And he looks over, there's a bush a-burning. And he goes over to watch the bush a-burning. And the bush is burning, but it's not consuming. The leaves are still there. The blooms are still there. The fire's engulfed the bush, but nothing's dissipating. Nothing is burning up. Nothing is being disintegrated. And Moses is amazed at that. And he gets a little closer, and God speaks. Take your shoes off. For you're standing on holy ground. And God gives Moses a promise. And Moses has to go back to Egypt. The Pharaohs that he left and forsook and defied, he's got to go back. He's going to put his life on the line. They may kill him as soon as he walks into the city. But he goes back and he says, I am that I am has sent me. Let my children go. And God gave him a victory. Now, somebody had to have faith to do something like that. 80 years old. And he marches into Egypt and takes about 2 million of God's people right out of their hands. And God makes himself so real that the morning they are leaving, all these citizens of Egypt begin to bring the greatest treasures they had in their homes. They bring them golden pots and golden vessels and ivory fixtures and everything you could know that cost a lot of money. And they said, we'll give this to you. Just get out of here. We'll give this to you. God gave them a deliverance on the highway in a marvelous manner. Hallelujah. And took them right out of Egypt. Opened the Red Sea and they marched through on dry land. I want to tell you something. God had a man called Moses. Now, I'm trying to show you what persuasion means. They're down at the Red Sea. They hear the army of Egypt marching against them. I mean, they can hear the thunder of those chariots and those great warriors coming after them, the children of Israel. And they say to Moses, why did you bring us out of here to be decimated and destroyed by these Egyptians? And Moses looked at them and said, stand still and see the hand of the Lord. Hallelujah. And while they're standing, waiting through the night, clouds have separated them from the army. And the next morning they looked. There's Moses standing beside the Red Sea. And in front of him is a highway right through the heart of the sea. Now that's persuasion. How many of you have got that kind? How many of you would like to have that kind? It don't start there, but it can certainly grow there. You can be a person of faith. You can be a person. You can be a giant. I'm here to tell you, there are people sitting in this room who could turn the place you work upside down. There are people sitting in this room who could have such an effect on your neighbors and your loved ones that they'd begin to get saved. There's people in this room, if you'll obey God and become the giant that's available to you in the faith I'm talking of, God could use you as much as he used Samuel. Joseph, Isaac, anybody else in that Old Testament group. They were giants of the faith. They knew God's method. It was first They had to believe. Then they had to see it by faith. Did you know that faith can see more than the natural eyes? Hey, now listen to me. Somebody, you got your mind somewhere else. I want you to hear me. Faith can see more than the natural eyes. The natural eyes can see nothing but natural things. Faith can see supernatural things. Now, are you hearing me? Faith can see supernatural things. There's some of you with needs that are just big. They're great. Can you put them in God's hands? Oh, I've had to put some things in God's hands the last few days. I mean, you know what we humans are? We're people that like to take care of things ourselves. I'll straighten him out if he acts like that again. Yeah, you'll make a mess out of things. Let's learn to let God do the supernatural and we do the natural. Would that be okay? Let's learn to let God do the supernatural and let us do the natural. And let's learn that if we will be humble and contrite, God don't use a person who's not contrite. Look at Joseph. Look at those characters in the Bible. Look at the contriteness of their faith. Look at old Moses standing up there on the side of a hill with his son tied up on an altar in front of him. And he's got a big butcher knife in his hand. And he raises it up ready to kill his son. Do you think he would have done it? Absolutely he would have done it. And you know what God would have done? He would have raised up Isaac and give him life again. That's how God is. Oh, giants of the faith. A chapter in the Bible about giants of the faith. A chapter in the Bible. Let me take you a little further as I close. Very important for you to take this with you. Go to verses 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turning to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And those that were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And you read those verses when you get home again. And you just remember, you can stop the violence of fire. If any one of you is put in a fiery torture chamber because of your faith, and you do it in faith, God will quench the violence of fire today, just like he did then. How many will say with me, God has not changed? Come on, say it out loud. God has not changed. He still does the impossible. Come on, say it out loud for me. For them whose faith will not waver. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you're double-minded, you ain't going beyond or further than where you are right now. If you're double-minded, you'll never be a greater Christian than you are today. If you're double-minded, you'll never see that great promise that you've been waiting on. If you're double-minded, forget it. It can't happen. But when your faith becomes rock solid, whoo! Raise up a fist, the right hand, if you want faith that's rock solid. And you're determined. You're determined. Now stand with me, please. You're determined. I am determined to hold out to the end. Nothing's going to stop me. On him I'm going to depend. I'm trusting him. He will not fail. My God is faithful. My God is faithful. My God is faithful. Hallelujah. I hope I've helped somebody. I hope I've helped somebody. Why don't you turn around and turn your life to Christ? Why don't you turn around? Oh, it's good to see my little school mate over here. I love you. I love you, son. Oh, I want to tell you something, church. It's later than you think. And God is looking for the people who he can use. I want some giants in this church. I want to be one, Brother Derek. I want you to be one. We're all standing but you. Hallelujah. He's standing in his heart. It's okay with me. I love these guys. Hallelujah. I'm determined to hold out to the end. I know you've been through it, my dear friend. The loss of your lady wasn't easy, was it? Is that right? His wife? God bless you, sir. This dear man, you remember not many weeks ago when they were called up north and she died, I believe, right before they got there. Is that right? No, you did get there. See, God has so many people out there who are hurting. And he wants to give them strength in their body. He's finally helped Brother Chambers to get on top of the loss of his Juanita. I'm not through, but I'm on top of it. Thank God for that. It took a long time. You say, Brother Chambers, well, why did it take so long? It wasn't God's fault. And the rest is none of your business. I'm kidding. God is so good, isn't he? Isn't God good? Raise your hand up now and pray for everybody in this building. God, meet every need in this house. Father, stop every negative feeling that someone may have. Stop every complaint that someone may have to deal with because we have them come against us, Lord, and we've got to be faithful. Paul said, I make it my constant business to have always a conscience void of offense toward God or any man. Make up your mind in that. And let God give you a miracle. Now, as we finish this message, and I pray, is there anybody in this building? You're not saved. Be with me a minute now, church. Anybody in this building who's not saved? You're living in sin. Do you understand that you can't take that sin with you into heaven? You cannot take it with you. You've got to be washed by the blood. You've got to be washed by the blood. If you're in this building and you need to be washed by the blood, you just step out from your seat and I promise you, you come to this altar and he will wash you by his blood and make a new person out of you. And if you really get saved, you won't be the same tomorrow. You really surrender everything to him, he'll put a persuasion in you that will enable you to face anything that comes your route and to stand tall. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't Jesus, my Lord, wonderful? Please close your eyes and bow your head. Is there somebody who would like to leave your seat and come quickly to this altar to get a miracle from the touch of God? Anybody? I need a miracle. It don't have to be your soul. It may be someone else's soul. It don't have to be spiritual. It may be in the natural. God meets your needs naturally, just like he meets your needs spiritually. Anybody would like to come to pray? Let us pray with you. God cares about you, lady. Sir, God really does care about you. He does really want to meet the need of your life. All right, could we do this? Could I ask everybody to meet me at the altar? Bring your Bible in your hand. I like bringing your Bible when you come to the altar. Bring your Bible and come and stand with us if you would. We want to pray for one another. We want to pray for every person in this building. We want to pray for you, dear nephew. Hallelujah. We want to pray for you. So come and stand. Come and stand. Come in. Let's wait together. I love for us to leave our seats and come to the altar. That's a spiritual thing for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Brother Joe. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want you to come down here and would you slip a hand up to God.
But then the door of my prison was opened by love. For the ransom was paid, I was free. Oh, I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. Oh, I trust.
free from the guilt I had carried, from the dull, empty life I'm set free. For when I met Jesus, He made me complete, and He forgot how foolish I used to be.
Let's give God the praise of our freedom.
From that dull, empty life, I